It is great to be together with you tonight. That seems nice and loud. All right. Wasn't able to be with you last Wednesday night, and then Sunday I wasn't here. And so for me, it's been a while, and I found myself really missing you guys. And so it's just nice to be back. Nice to be back tonight and be with you. So welcome. Welcome to Calvary Chapel tonight. And before we get into our study, just a couple of things to mention. Most of you know that we lease from the school. The school owns this building, and that's what's going on right now, of course. The school is gearing up to get ready for their school to start, and that's why all these, they're having meetings here all day long. So today they just kind of pushed everything aside for us. But if you're wondering, that's not the new church motto or something. I've been told that that's a Japanese word that means, like it says, little by little. Now, that actually might have application for somebody, I don't know, but that's their motto. Not ours, if you wonder, what was that about? It's not like some bad saying, it's just little by little. So anyway, that's not us, and all the stuff you see going on, they're gearing up for school, which of course reminds me of the fact that, let me pause. You guys are holding the Bibles all that time, you're wondering, what's he going to do? Go ahead and come forward. If you need a Bible for our study, by the way, while I'm sharing these random thoughts, ask the ushers to pass the Bible to you. Raise your hand. They'd be glad to pass the Bible to you if you need one, because you'll need a Bible to study with. But talking about that, thinking about school starting reminds us that what's happening soon for all of you guys. Either you're back in or you're getting ready to start school again. Many of you are. No? Oh, you're all out of school. That's pretty cool. No. Anyway, and I know that's always an exciting time for some. It's going off to college or starting in college classes. Some it's going to high school, starting high school, some grade in there, et cetera, down through the grades. Always an exciting time of year for students. I use that word. I don't think they always say it's exciting, but it's an interesting part of the year. So we think of all you students and all. So as we go to prayer and ask God to bless our time in his word, let's also just lift up the youth of our fellowship, as they also are getting ready to go to various places of schooling and all. So let's pray. Father, as we gather tonight, we gather with such a sense of awe and wonder. Lord, we're mindful of the fact that you love us. We're here because your love has touched our lives. The forgiveness you've poured out, the grace, the mercy you've touched our lives with. Lord, who are we? And yet you love us. Thank you so much for that, that we can gather and you know that, and know that you have something for us. Your word is alive, it's active, and you want to speak to us and encourage us tonight. So Lord, help us to be receivers. Help us to lay hold of what you have. Challenge us, exhort, encourage, whatever you know the need is. But have your way, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit amongst us and within us tonight, Lord. Help us to really lay hold of all of these things. And we do pray for the youth. We pray for the children, all ages, be it heading off to kindergarten, preschool the first time, or all the way up to college. Be with each one, Lord. Protect them in the environment you have them in. Help them gain all you'd have them to gain from their schooling and all. But help them be lights where they are, Lord. Help them to be influences for you where they are. So we pray for your protection upon them, your blessing upon all of our youth. And help them to know that you're right there with them. No matter what pressures, no matter what temptations, no matter what school throws and assignments, everything that come along, Lord, that you're faithful. And Lord, just remind them of just that, your very presence with them. So we lift all of our youth to you. Now, Lord, we get into your word. Lord, would you cause your word to get into us? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you've been with us throughout the summer now, you know, of course, that we've been doing a series on the armor of God. The fact that you've been here shows me that you understand and appreciate and want to just grow in that and be victorious in the battle and all. But it's just a reminder that in all these things, it does no good. It's kind of like those instructions the stewardess gives. That nobody listens to until the plane starts acting up. And all of a sudden they go, where'd she say the life vest was? Now, where's the nearest doorway? All of a sudden then you start worrying about it when you need it. Well, same with the armor in a sense. We can't wait till like the attack's on or we're going to be behind the curve. We need to know what this stuff is and have it going on in our lives already, because actually we're in the battle all the time. We've talked about that before. We don't live in a playground. We live in a battleground, a spiritual battleground. Paul says that. I didn't make that up. I'm just passing it on. But we don't have to get mowed down. We don't have to let it take it by surprise. We can be victorious. God wants us to be victorious. So he gives us the armor of God. So this summer we've been going through it. My prayer is that it'll help us all be just that much more prepared, that much more equipped. Now, considering that we're coming down to the end of our series, a week from tonight will be the end of our summer series. That 2 weeks from tonight will be our communion time together. We gather for communion and prayer and afterglow and all. And then the week after that, the men's and women's study are up and running. Can you believe it? Summer. You know, around our house, we wait for summer. We love summer. Like a kid, you know, but it goes so fast. Anyway, we're getting down there. We're excited to see the studies kicking off, though, and all, but we're coming down there. But since we've been going through all this, and before we get into our topic for tonight, I want to start with a little quiz. And you're all going, oh, no. Remember, the goal in all this is found, don't turn there. But the goal is found in Ephesians 6:13, where Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God wants us to stand, to be victorious. So he says, here's the armor. Now, close your Bible if you've opened it already to Ephesians 6. That'd be too easy. We're going to review the pieces of armor. We're going to name the pieces of armor and do a real brief little summary of what each one is. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on you, and you and so as I call on you, just name them in order. We'll start just go through the first. So it's always fun to do that. That's because I'm up here. If I'm where you are, I'm sweating bullets, but I'm here. See, I get to know. But I won't do that. Of course, I'm not going to call on you. But let's just think about a moment. Now, the first piece of armor. Now, remember, all this is, it's simply a Roman soldier's uniform, in which Paul is likening a Roman soldier's uniform to the fact that we need to be armored spiritually. And he takes literal things, but he's saying that the point is their spiritual application is what he wants us to have going on. That's what we need to have going on in our lives. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll mention it again. It's true, I'm not going to call on you because I'm a nice guy. But the enemy's not a nice guy. And as I often say, if you can't name them, you sure ain't putting them on. Naming them doesn't make sure you do have them on, but it's a start. So the very first thing we learned, the very first piece of armor we learned was we were to do what? What is it? You can just throw it out there, and I'll do my very best to hear with my old ears. The belt of truth, or New King James, to gird your waist with truth. So the first foundational piece of armor was to have on the truth. Now we saw in our study, again, remember, I'm just boiling this down, but we saw that in essence that is pointing to God's word. We need God's word. Why? It is the truth. And why do we need the truth? Because our enemy is a liar. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He'll come against us with deceptions. And you won't be able to know that they're a lie, that you're being deceived, if you don't have the truth to run those things through, so to speak. So truth becomes that foundational core part of our armor by which everything's going to be tested against. But we saw, since this truth is God's word and is so foundational, and since it's to resist the lies that this world and the enemy throws at us, the only way it'll do us any good is we have to know it. You have to know the word to use the word. And so that's why we do what we're doing tonight. We stay in it, we study it, we soak in it, we do all the things we do with the word, so that when it comes along, it's ready to go. So the first piece of armor is have on truth. Be soaked in truth so you can know when the lies, and there are a ton of them every day coming at us all around, we can discern truth from error. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. The Roman soldier had a breastplate. It covered all the vital organs, went around his body. It tied down to the belt. And so this breastplate of righteousness, we see why truth is first. Then we anchor this. We anchor the fact of this righteousness that we learned about to his truth. It's anchored to truth. God has declared it to be so. What does he declare to be so? That you, if you receive Christ, have right standing with God. Not because you've earned it. I sure don't deserve it. But God gives it. He puts his righteousness to our account. When we call upon him to apply that blood to us. Our sins go to his account. His righteousness goes to ours. So we have on now his righteousness. God imputes to every believer his righteousness. Right standing with God. And then, of course, he imparts, we saw, righteousness through us. So it's the imparting to us, then through us, of righteousness. And again, those are both anchored in truth. Third piece of the armor. Now, I'm sorry, what? I need to turn on my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we had on, I can't step out here and model it or I lose the microphone and I go like this. So, but basically you put on the belt, get on your breastplate, and then you get on your shoes, called the preparation of the gospel of peace. Our foothold, our standing, rest in the fact that we've been reconciled to God. We saw that feet shod speaks of just that. It's standing, it's anchoring, it's balance. A soldier in combat has to have good footing. A wrestler has to have good footing if he's going to be successful. And we are anchored upon this gospel of peace. We've been reconciled with God. And because of that, we have peace with God. We once were at enmity with God, but now we have peace with God. And, of course, that ushers peace into our lives. Peace with him, peace in us because of that. And we saw that the lack of peace makes us vulnerable to the enemy. How? Because we keep trying to find it somewhere where it can't be found. We start looking around instead of up to somehow get peace. And that looking around sets us up for deception, sets us up for something. It sets us up for that sinking sand experience. Instead, we can have our feet on solid ground because of the gospel of peace. The fourth piece of armor, let's see, belt, breastplate, feet. The fourth piece of armor is, very good, shield of faith. We put out the attacks. We fend off those fiery missiles that are thrown at us. How? By faith. We put up that shield. The attacks of the enemy don't find their target. They're not successful when we put faith between us and the attack. When we believe God in that area, when we trust God in that circumstance, that becomes a shield so that that dart doesn't find its target. The importance of believing and trusting God. Easy to say, but hard for us to do a lot. But taking God at his word is such an important, having faith in God in his word is such an important of our armor. So, standing on, using God's word, his promises is the idea there. Fifth piece of armor. Okay, we got our belt, breastplate, shoes, shield. What's the next piece? Jeff's rolling now. Got the helmet of salvation. We saw how important that is because, of course, the helmet idea there is something that protects the mind, the head area, the brain. We saw that much of the enemy's attacks are aimed at our mind, i.e., our thought life. He wants to put into our minds and get us rolling with thoughts that will cause us to fall, miss out, stumble. So that thought life area of our life is so vulnerable to that. And so we're to have on this helmet of salvation. We saw it meant that we must settle the issue of our salvation. We must know that we're saved, that what he's done is sufficient. I am his. Because of that, he's in me. And all that ushers into our life. We also saw that salvation ushers into our minds this opening up to renewed minds. Remember in Romans 12, that we can now have renewed minds. What's that mean? I can now think spiritually. I can have discernment that the natural man doesn't have. And again, that discernment, that thinking spiritually, helps me, causes me to know the attack, helps me not fall to that temptation or whatever form the attack might come in. So what am I saying? I'm saying, once you're saved, Holy Spirit's in there, we now have discernment so we don't fall for the enemy's lies and tricks and all. And then the sixth piece of armor, Tim covered it last week. That sixth piece is what? You got it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And of course, if you were here, you saw that the Word, just like a sword, can be used both as a defensive weapon, but it's also an offensive weapon. A sword can be used to repel a blow, an attack. So we use the Word in that way. But we can also now, it's an offensive weapon. We use it to go after the enemy, drive the enemy away, or whatever. We gain back territory that maybe we gave up. We can advance the Lord's cause, his purposes into areas, through the use of God's Word. So those six important parts, I hope you can name them, and I certainly pray we're all actively putting them on, that the spiritual examples that it's pointing to there are active in our lives. Go ahead, turn to Ephesians 6. Let's go now to our next part of this. Ephesians 6. We're going to jump into verse 14. Ephesians 6, 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So there you have, in those verses, the six pieces of armor that we just went over, just reminded ourselves about. But notice, Paul does not end the discussion there. The end of verse 17 isn't just a period and say, okay, bye-bye, thanks, that's all. But it continues on now. It goes on to a very important element if we're going to be successful warriors. What does it say? 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So after pointing out the spiritual battle and the armor that we can have, that we're provided, that we can stand victorious, after pointing out that last piece of armor, the sword of the Spirit, he doesn't stop. But he points out there's something now that needs to be going on. There's something that's going to bring all this activity into our lives, going to kind of activate it, and it's such a crucial part of getting on the armor. And he says it is what? Prayer. Now, I know when you hear that, perchance, there's a reaction. Oh, no. It's real easy to tickle the guilt bone on that one. You know, oh, prayer. But don't hear it as that. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But let's just see its important role, first of all. We're going to take this verse real slow because it's so crucial to our victory. He begins by saying what? After all these pieces of armor that you need to have on, etc., praying. Praying. Paul here points to the importance of prayer. Anyone can pray. It's not based on intellectual level, educational level, financial level, your eloquence. God will never say, you know what, you didn't phrase that quite right. I'm not going to listen to that prayer. It's not based on any of that. He hears that prayer when you cry for salvation, and once you're his, he hears he wants you to pray. He calls us to pray. We need to pray. It should be as natural as breathing is to us. But here Paul points out the importance of it. See, remember the context here. It's about soldiers and war. And soldiers must be in communication with and led by headquarters, or they will be in trouble. Right? A soldier needs to be in communication with his commander. What are we up to? What's the goal? What's the mission? And as they go through it, that's why they carry radios and all so often, especially over long term and when a battle's unfolding and all. There's lines of communication and all. But the idea is, in this battle, we need to be in communication with and following our commander's orders, his guidelines, his help, his strength, his words to us. So we must talk to and receive from him what he'd have if we're going to be victorious. So Paul says, praying. The role of praying if you're going to have victory in all you go through. We put on the armor with prayer. We wear our armor with prayer. If you think about what these spiritual components are, the Word of God and our protecting our minds and thoughts and all things, hopefully you can see the application there. Prayer brings to bear, helps kind of activate those pieces of spiritual armor in our lives. They're crucial to getting on and keeping on the armor that we might have victory. See, prayer acknowledges our need. Prayer is an acknowledgement that I can't win this battle on my own. I don't have what it takes. Prayer shows that I'm being driven to him, which is exactly what the Lord wants. He wants me to come to him. He wants us to avail ourselves of his resources and all. Prayer shows that. If we're not praying, then we must either believe we have what it takes. Thanks, Lord, but I can handle this. Danger. Or it's not really a battle, so no big deal. Or we don't really believe that he has what we need or something. Lack of prayer conveys something, and whatever it is, it's not a good thing. Prayer helps us lay hold of the armor's protection. And we really cannot use the armor properly except in fellowship and communion with God. That's just the way it is. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I ask you, I said, how many here feel that you pray enough? You're always prayed up. You keep prayer life is right where it needs to be. If I said, how many here feel that they pray enough? I would think not a lot of hands would go up. Or if I did it in reverse, said, how many here know that they could probably pray more or should pray more? A lot of hands would start going up because there's always that sense in us like, So, I understand that that's kind of a... Most of us know that we either could or should pray more. Truth be told, there are times when our schedules rip us off and we buy into the fact that we don't have time for that today. Or just, I have to pray for a few minutes. I got to get going or something. We fall prey to that. Many of us do at least. And we know we could or should pray more. So don't hear what Paul's saying here or what I'm sharing with you. He's not trying to provoke a guilt trip. He's simply trying to... Hear it as an invitation to victory. Hear it as God's invitation to have the armor on. You got to get dressed in the morning. You get dressed physically, get dressed spiritually. And prayer is how you get dressed spiritually. And prayer throughout the day is how you stay dressed spiritually. That's the invitation. Now, as Tim pointed out last week, I don't know if you were here last week, I got an opportunity to listen to the message, and it was good stuff. That young man's cooking. I guess I'm his dad. I can brag on him. But he's doing great. But it was a great message. But he was pointing out how the Word of God, last week he covered the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I remember listening to it. Perhaps you remember if you were here. He mentioned how the Word of God and prayer, he mentioned a little bit about prayer in there as part of this. He said how really they're different. He pointed out, in a sense, those are different from the other parts of the armor. The Word of God and prayer are a little bit different. Yes, they all are spiritual. They all have their spiritual components to application. He wasn't trying, and I don't want to overextend what he said or misapply it. But what he points out is, when he comes down to the Word of God, which is this right here, and he said prayer, something that's kind of different about those two is they're both tangible. What I mean is this, and I'm kind of veering off, so don't even come to me, not him, about this. But what I mean is, like, you take the Word of God. You can see it. You can hold it. You can actually see the words and read it and write them out and all. Now, of course, it has it's spiritual in use. It's God-breathed. I understand all that. But he's simply trying to point out that. I mean, he was saying how some parts of the armor can kind of be vague if you try to somehow with natural eyes or kind of... I mean, you can find yourself... I mean, are my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? I can't see. You can't really see if your feet are literally shod. Because that's not the way it is. But when it comes to these last two points here, these last week and tonight, you can see that. You can see the Word of God. You know if you're reading it. You know if you're learning it. You know if you can say it and if you've got it memorized or whatever. We know that. It's something that you can practically do. And it's just like Jesus used when he was tempted in the wilderness. But got the victory, of course. It's the same thing for us. It's right there that we can use. And then he mentioned that fact about prayer. Prayer is something you don't have to wonder about. You can practically do it. It's something you physically do. You get on your knees, you sit down, you get away somewhere, and you can actually physically know that you are praying. Now, I want to say you can see it. You can see its use. You know you're doing it. You know what's happening. So it's not some weird thing out there somewhere. It's taking some time and getting before God and praying. Pastor Chuck Smith says this, and this is in line with what I just said about the Word of God and prayer. He says, the Word of God and prayer are the deciding factors in this spiritual battle. End quote. But he's alluding to the same thing I just said. All these spiritual components are there for us, but prayer and the literal Word of God is that how it's activated, how it's brought to bear, how it's made a reality in our lives. It's the battleground. And like the Word of God, as Tim talked about last week, prayer is also an offensive part of our weapons. The other parts of the weapon, the other parts of the armor basically are all defensive. They prevent the missiles from finding their target or whatever. But now in prayer, once again, you have an offensive type of weapon. Again, you can gain ground. You can lay hold of things. You can move forward with prayer. One commentator said this, prayer is the single greatest force ever unleashed on the earth. He said, and it is the single most powerful weapon at the saints' disposal. He says, this world may find a way to close our churches and take away our Bibles, but no one will ever be able to stop God's people from calling on the name of their Heavenly Father. You can close the church door, you can take away my Bible, but you can't take away prayer. No matter what circumstance you're in, we can come boldly before the throne because of that shed blood. Because of the grace and the mercy he's given to us. And nobody can take that away. So it says praying. Praying how often? He says here, you'll notice the next point, praying always. Jesus taught us in Luke 18:1, it says, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. To not lose heart, don't get discouraged, but keep on praying. To pray always. Now, when it says praying always, this doesn't mean we walk around literally praying every second of the day. It doesn't mean that even while right now I'm talking to you, so that would be kind of strange. I don't know how you're going to do it. How could I talk, teach, and then pray? It'd come out pretty weird. Driving the car, everything. There's times when we pray, and there's different forms of prayer, but see, what it means here when it says praying always, It means praying at every opportunity, praying at every when the need, praying in the circumstance is the idea. At every need. So we're to pray always, praying at every opportunity that there is. Every time there's a need to pray, make sure you pray. Now, when do you pray? You pray after everything else has failed. No! But that's what we do, huh? Sometimes, well, I'll try this. I'll try that. I'll figure this out. Oh, nothing's working. I better pray. Well, that's just spinning your wheels. We're to pray first, not last. Go to God with it. Cast it upon Him. Pray for wisdom. Pray, because you know what? If you don't, you're going to find out where you're striving. We get into striving when we don't pray first. We're trying to get our method to happen. So it says, praying always. What next does it say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication. So pray. Pray in every need. Pray at every opportunity. Pray first. And then he says, how? With all prayer and supplication. All prayer here refers to, he means all types of prayer. So make sure that that you pray using all types of prayer. What do I mean by that? Well, all types of prayer means prayer. There are different forms of prayer, right? We understand that. There are prayers of adoration, prayers of praise, prayers of worship, prayers of thanksgiving. They're all types of prayer. And we should be utilizing all of them. So pray always with all kinds of prayers is the idea. But it also means not just types of prayer in that way, but all types of prayer in terms of public prayer and private prayer. Prayer at church, prayer at home. Prayer when you're single, prayer when you're married. So it's praying in all our circumstances, at every opportunity. But then Paul emphasizes in supplication. Well, how does that differ? You just said pray and all types of prayer and supplication. This kind of supplication here refers to what we might call petitions. It means prayer with regard to special requests and desires. So that's the supplication here. Pray all the time. Pray in all circumstances. Pray in all the opportunities and all the needs. Pray all these different kinds of prayer. And make specific requests and desires known to God. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but notice Paul puts them together again. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Paul does that. He combines, he goes, make sure you be praying, all types of prayer, and make sure it contains supplication, specific requests and needs and all. Because the Lord would have you ask. Well, I'm sure the Lord's really busy and I'm pretty small. He's got a lot to do. He can handle it. We limit God to our thinking too often. God's, we can't even begin to probably take in or understand how vast God is and His ability. Every single person on earth could pray at the same time and no one would get a busy signal. He would hear and connect with and respond to every single one. If one of you start talking to me, I'm okay. Well, kind of. Two of you, three of you, pretty soon I'm lost. Like, be quiet. You've had that. Like, I can't follow all of you. And that would just be in here. But God's not like that. He's big enough. He can handle it. So He wants us to ask. James 4:2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. He wants us to ask. But I must mention even in that, James shows there's a right way and a wrong way. For James in the next verse goes on to say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. He speaks to motive. You're praying in the flesh. You're praying with the wrong motive. First of all, he says, you don't ask. When you do, it's all about you. That leads us to Paul's next point in the text. Kind of good segue there, huh? Anyway, what's it say? Praying always, all prayer and supplication. How? In the Spirit. We ask amiss because we're praying self-led prayers. Selfish prayers. Seeking things that we might consume on our own lust, he says. But Paul says here, hey, I want you to be praying. God wants you praying in the Spirit. That's the real essence of true prayer. For prayer to be effective, it must be of the Spirit, in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means it's to be Holy Spirit-directed prayer. See, the Holy Spirit motivates us to pray. It's the Holy Spirit creating prayer. He empowers us to offer up our prayers. It is, he's talking about Spirit-led prayers. That's what our prayers are to be about. It means the opposite of, for example, it's not to be rote prayers or just liturgies that aren't from the heart. I'm not saying they can't be, but be careful of that. It's not the vain repetitions that Jesus warns about. But it's to be prayer from our heart to God's heart. Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-provoked is the idea. It can, when it says in the Spirit, it can include, it does include, praying in tongues. That's part of it. But it doesn't mean just tongues. It's prayer that is empowered by, motivated by, led by the Holy Spirit. It's the opposite of selfish prayers and all. Now consider his next point. He speaks now to the attitude to have while doing this. What's it say next? Being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Our attitude in this whole prayer life is what? Being watchful. What does that mean? First of all, it means watching. It means, again, watch for opportunities to pray. It also means watch for those things that would hinder prayer. Be on guard to hindrances of prayer. Be on guard all the time. So, being watchful to this end, towards these goals, towards this purpose. With all perseverance. What does it mean to persevere? It means pray twice, maybe three times, then give up. I'm still checking if you're with me or somewhere there. Somebody's supposed to say no or laugh or something. No. Persevere means what? You hang in there. You keep praying. See, there are spiritual battles going on. There's dynamics going on that we don't even see. But our prayers are effectual, and they're part of how God designed this thing. We are part of the battle, and our prayers bring him to bear, bring his resources to bear in situations. And he says, keep at it. Not rotely, from the heart, but keep praying. Pray for that loved one. Pray for that person to get saved. Pray for that circumstance. You all know that. Maybe you're one of them. There's people who you've prayed for maybe years, but they finally came around to the Lord. Or that circumstance finally clicked. It changed. We don't know all that's going on, but we know our calling. Persevere in prayer. Don't become disheartened. Don't become discouraged. And I know it can if we look at the circumstance. But keep your eyes on who you're praying to, he says. And persevere in prayer. So don't give up. Prayer can be hard, but don't give up. Now, to continue in prayer, again, doesn't mean vain repetitions that you just, okay, well, I got to pray for those five things. Okay, bye. But it does mean to pray just to make sure it's heartfelt. And only eternity will tell the fruit that has and will come from persevering prayer. Okay, now, think of the context of our passage. The whole overall context is what? He spins by talking about how it's an example of a battle. He speaks in verse 12 of wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and all. But it's the idea of spiritual battles. We need armor on because we're in a spiritual battle. The idea is warfare or wrestling, fighting. They're fighting. We're wrestling with these spiritual entities and all. So here's a question, not to be answered out loud, but just for you to think about for a moment. If you and I are fighting, literally you and I are in a fight, a serious fight, fight to the death. We're wrestling. You and I are going at it. We're fighting each other. And we're going back and forth and all. we're wrestling, trying to get a good grip or something. We're going around here. And let's say in the midst of this wrestling match you and I are having, this fight that you and I are having, let's say at some point I pull out a gun. How does that change our fight? A lot. What happens at that point? It would turn your whole focus to what? He now has a weapon that I have no protection against. He now has something that if I don't get this out of his hand, if I don't get him to lay this down, it will defeat me. It will overcome me. So all of a sudden you're not thinking, well, how can I just get hold of his arm? It's like, oh man, how do I get him to drop it? How do I convince him to lay it down? How do I get him to not use that weapon on me? Because that one I have no defense for directly. How smart, let's say we're in that circumstance, I've now pulled out my gun, and you're there. How smart would it be for me to say, let's say you said to me, now just lay that down, put it aside, you won't be needing that. Come on, just lay that down. How smart would it be for me to say, okay, I'll just put it down. Let me just lay it over here out of the way. I won't use that one. Now remember, this is to the death, this fight. This is over something crucial, whatever. How smart would that be just to put it down? Not too smart. Now, think of prayer in that way. What do I mean? In prayer, you have that which will bring to bear God's resources and power against the enemy. When the enemy isn't scared by our planning and our cunning and our little devices and our strategies, but we go to our knees, we pull out a weapon that will defeat the enemy. And so, the enemy wants you to put that down. Oh, you don't need to pray. You can lay that one down. You're not going to have that much challenge today. I'm going to be so nice to you today. You don't have to worry about me today. Just put your gun down. Put your prayer down. Don't utilize prayer. The enemy wants us to lay down, to put aside prayer, because he knows it's how we bring the power of God to bear upon our lives. It's bringing the resources of heaven into our circumstances. And so how sad it is when we voluntarily lay down this most awesome weapon of prayer. In wrapping it up, let me just share. Think of all that Paul went through. Think of all that Paul has seen. Paul went through a lot in his travels. You know, he's talked about all that he's seen and the imprisonments and everything that Paul went through. He speaks here not from theory, but rather he's speaking as a battle-tested warrior. He is someone who's been to the field already. He's coming back now to us recruits or whatever, and he's a battle-tested apostle. This isn't theory, this is reality. God had shown Paul the awesome provision of armor that is ours. So Paul, in turn, sets it before us. Now, may we be found with it on every day. Get invite Joe back up to close us in song together. If you're in need of prayer tonight, if there's a circumstance in your life, you'd like somebody to pray with you and for you, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. We invite you to give prayer after we wrap it up here. As Joe comes up, consider, starting again in verse 14, stand therefore, have girded your waist with truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But then remember, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Did anybody notice that there was one part of this I didn't teach on tonight? I stopped short of the last statement, didn't I? Which says what? And supplication for all the saints. There's a whole lot there for us. And as I consider that today, well, let me just put it this way. I invite you, come out next week and join us as we conclude our series by looking at this awesome part of the provision that's called intercession. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just right now, this very thing you're doing right now, Father, that we can bow our heads, bow our hearts, and know they have access to you. Know that you are a God hearing, a prayer hearing God, and a prayer answering God, that you hear our prayers. Father, that we can now, through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus, come boldly before your throne and receive grace. We can have that touch of your work in our lives. Lord, we just thank you for this very thing we're doing right now. Just as Jesus taught us, we can say, Father, and know you as such, and know that you hear us. Thank you for that. Lord, help us. None of us have arrived in this. We confess that. But help us grow in it. Help us understand the awesome privilege it is. And help us never to lay aside this most awesome weapon. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.